This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Randy, thank you. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Well, this was a week unlike we have ever seen, not only in America, but really across the world. And I don't know about you, Randy, but it was a long week for me. Last Saturday seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And this, of course, was supposed to be the first week of the spring sports season. And weather-wise, it wouldn't have worked out too good. We got the typical weather we expect in the middle part of March. But, of course, we would have much rather have dealt with cancellations and postponements and rescheduled dates. That is a much better alternative than what we currently have, which is the real possibility we will not have a high school spring sports season. Now, the IHSA, they are taking their time on this. Of course, they were very proactive in their decision about the winter state series, but there's no reason to make any type of quick judgments on your spring state series. They still have time, and as we've seen, as this virus outbreak has kind of progressed, these situations, it's not a day-to-day situation, it's hour by hour, and the IHSA had been holding with the line if the March 30th deadline stays intact. At that point, then they will begin to make contact with their different member schools and try to forge out a plan moving forward. Of course, yesterday, that all changed when Governor Pritzker issued the stay-at-home order and then also tacked on another week of the school closures across the state. And this is just my opinion, my two cents, nothing more than my opinion, but it does not look good to have any type of spring sports season coming up this year.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it could change in a hurry. It really could. But as we look at it right now, the first order of business is if the schools don't go back, the sports aren't coming back. I mean, that's the bottom line with that. They will not play high school spring sports if school is not in session. We've already seen the state of Kansas. They have canceled their school. The rest of the year, and it's kind of the same approach that the IHSA has taken with the spring state series. You're seeing these state governments, for the most part, take the same approach. Let's not make any wide sweeping long-term pronouncement. Let's just go week by week, 2 weeks at a time, and then adjust when is necessary. So that's where we sit right now. And you know, the IHSA, they've been reminding athletes and coaches about club team participation and travel team participation. As if you play traveling baseball, you cannot practice with that team right now while the high school season is suspended. You would be ruled ineligible. You could play basketball on a traveling team right now, since basketball is not currently an in-season sport with the IHSA. There's been a lot of that conversation floating around, and it's a good conversation to have, but you have to keep in mind too, what kind of traveling team or club team would still be conducting business as normal under these circumstances? And quite frankly, right now, that's not even a possibility with the order in place as it is. So it's been a big topic the last week, but a lot of that really was much ado about nothing. But we've seen it throughout the week. It's better to overreact in these situations than underreact. You know, if you underreact, you wind up potentially with a much bigger and scarier problem than what we have. If we overreact, and some of us get inconvenienced for a few weeks, but we have this behind us in a shorter period of time, then at the end of the day, it'll all be worth it, I suppose. But it was an odd week, to say the least, across not just the state, country, but the world. It was just one for the books. So, of course, the sports world is essentially non-existent right now. We got nothing going professionally, of course, nothing going collegiately, and sports shut down at the high school level across the state. So what we do have for you today, we're going to be talking with Dan DeWerff. He is the new boys basketball coach at Nokomis. He was hired at a school board meeting earlier this week. Of course, Mr. DeWerff, 1998 Nokomis grad, played on the 1997 team that got to the state quarterfinals. He's been at the junior high level the last 4 years for Nokomis. He's had a couple of different varsity head coaching stints as well, so we look forward to talking with Dan DeWerff coming up in just a few moments here on Sports Saturday. We will also catch up with new Litchfield football coach Dan Carlson and new Litchfield baseball coach Connor White. Of course, for Connor White and Litchfield baseball, they are just in a holding pattern right now, and it's a really weird way to have your first season at a new program have these types of circumstances. So we look forward to those three conversations today. Dan DeWerff, Dan Carlson, Connor White, all coming up this morning on WSMI's Sports Saturday. We will take a break. When we come back, we will talk with new Nokomis boys basketball coach Dan DeWerff when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages. All right, Randy, thank you very much, and we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Dan DeWerff, the new boys basketball coach at Nokomis High School. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, there he is. How you doing, coach?
Good. How about yourself?
Hey, doing very well. Obviously, weird times and circumstances here that we're all dealing with. But for you, what an exciting week this was.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely an honor to, get the opportunity to coach here at my alma mater. And, you know, obviously, there's a lot more important things going on in the world right now. But, it's definitely an exciting time nonetheless.
Sports has always been a great escape to get away from real-world issues over the course of time, and this is no different. Even though we don't have any sports going on, obviously looking forward to what is ahead for Nokomis basketball, it's going to be different moving forward. But, Dan, you know exactly what you're getting yourself into, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously having played here and then not only coaching here at the junior high for the last 4 years, but also coaching against Nokomis. I mean, there's obviously high expectations year in and year out, and Coach Kimbrough set the bar pretty high. But I've coached at spots where there were high expectations, and then the last job that I had going into West Frankfort, the expectations, you know, they told me when I got the position that there weren't going to be many expectations. I'd much rather go into a place, where, the kids as well as the community, they want to win, and, they've got expectations and set a high standard. So that's something that's always exciting going into.
In Coach Kimbrough's remarks after his final home game against Edinburgh, he made the comment about the fan base of Nokomis, and he said, "They don't expect us to win every game we play, but they do expect us to compete as hard as we can every game." And I feel like that's kind of been the secret philosophy to Nokomis over the years. I mean, we're talking about going back 40, 50, 60 years now, where Nokomis is going to play hard.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, just playing for Coach, that was something that we expected, he expected out of us. And then, coming in, I remember as a freshman, you weren't going 110%. Not only would he let you know about it, but, the upperclassmen would too. And just kind of setting that foundation is something that continued, year after year. And as he mentioned in that last game, the fan base expects it too. You're not going to win every game, but you can always give 110%, night in, night out. And it's just an expectation that you have, when you're playing in the program, that's going to take place. And, coaching against them, too, when I was at Pawnee, we knew we were going to get, that type of effort when we went against them, too. So, it's something that's continued, and we just hopefully that's something we're going to be expecting as well. I mean, I don't have any other, less expectations than that going forward.
Talking with Dan DeWerff, the new boys head basketball coach at Nokomis. And, Dan, you had the unique opportunity to play for Coach Kimbrough, of course, and you were kind of right in that stage where I feel like the program was beginning to start that run of dominance. You guys made it to the state tournament your junior year, but really from that mid-90s point on, my gosh, what a run of basketball.
Yeah, we had, you know, a lot of good players at that time. And, you know, I heard Coach talk a couple weeks ago on here, and, you know, he said, you know, maybe a little bit before that time, he really felt he had the program where he wanted it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even the two previous years before 97, I know in 96, we obviously lost to Shelbyville on that last second shot, and they went on win state. And then the year before that, when I was a freshman, you know, we lost to Shelbyville in the regional. I believe they went to the Elite Eight that year. You know, we weren't being successful. We'd always run into a very good Painted team or a good Shelbyville team. And, you know, we had that work ethic, and then we've also had some talent. And then, you know, I guess you would kind of say that monkey got off our back after we went to state in 97. And then, you know, just, you know, coach's record obviously speaks for itself.
And, of course, we know this year the state tournament got canceled. And just from your memories as a high school kid getting to play in the state tournament, I mean, that's like the dream. When you're a kid growing up, playing in the state tournament is like as good as it gets. So talk about your experience in that moment versus from the coaching side having to tell a team that made it to state, boys, we don't get to play.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, my memories from that time is, you know, it was, you know, going back to the super sectional, I believe we beat Tolono Unity. And, you know, just kind of that whole ride from regionals beating Shelbyville through the sectionals, which I believe was at Riverton, to going all the way to the state, it was just, you're on cloud nine. And the whole community was behind us, and, you know, the whole weekend. I know we got beat the first round in Elite Eight, but, I mean, it was just something that you'd never forget. Because, you know, we had a really good year, that year, and, you know, the town was right behind you, and, you really feel for the kids who get there. And then, you know, I think it was on Thursday that they're told, hey, it's not happening. And, you know, in fact, had my cousin, he played for Sacred Heart Griffin, this year, and, you know, talking to my aunt, and, you know, it's just, you know, obviously a downer. But there's not much you can do about it. You know, it just kind of is what it is. And, unfortunately, there's a lot of kids who had to go through that, not just in Illinois, but across the country.
And Dan, as we, you know, as we think about what happened this year, you always hear the phrase, enjoy the journey. And, you know, from a coaching perspective, sometimes, even as a player, it's hard to think about that at the moment. But, boy, is that so important to enjoy the journey, take in the practices, the bus rides, the games, because you really do never know when it could be over.
Yeah. You know, over the years, I've definitely told my players that. I mean, give it 110% because you don't know, you know, obviously – not thinking the situation that we have now, but, you know, when you get to be, you know, 25 or 30 years old, you're going to look back and say, hey, you know, that was a pretty good time. You know, practice might have been tough, but, you know, being able to play with your buddies, being able to play, you know, for your community, it's something you're always going to remember. And, you know, I've talked to my former players 5-10 years later, and they're like, hey, you know, you're right, coach. I mean, it's something that you only get experience once, and that's what makes, you know, for those teams that did make it to state this year, you really got a feel for them, because, you know, you're always going to have kind of a what if, you know, type moment when looking back to it. But, you know, it's a situation that's unheard of, you know, in our lifetime. But, you know, all they can do, I'm sure, is just kind of look back and think back to the times that, you know, how they got there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure they'll be looking at it with a good mindset from there on out.
Talking with Dan DeWerth, the new boys basketball coach at Nokomis. And, Dan, let's talk about your team moving forward. Of course, Carter Sobel not coming back, Alex DeSetti not coming back. But you got a nice group of returning players that have gotten a lot of valuable varsity minutes here over this last season.
Yeah. You know, I got a chance, obviously, to watch them play quite a bit. And, you know, Evan Herbstreit, Seth Johnson, Jake Johnson, Kendall Nodal, you know, those are four guys I think that got quite a bit of playing time. And then, you know, the JV as well as, you know, the Fresh Soft, they had some success too. So, you know, even though we're losing that type of scoring, you know, somebody's, you know, we'll be able to come in and kind of fill the void. You know, that's just kind of how it usually works. So I know, looking back at my time when I was coaching at Pawnee, we lost, there was a kid by the name of Daniel Kohavi, who's a real good guard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he averaged about 25 points a game. And then we had another post player who averaged about 15. So we lost about 70-80% of our scoring. But over the course of the summer and earlier in the year, guys find their roles and, you know, guys will figure it out. And it's good that we've had, you know, guys coming back who've had that experience, even though the roles are going to change, you know, playing against the type of competition and the schedule we play against, it's without a doubt going to be a benefit going into next year.
I've always thought that's been a good attribute of Nokomis is kids know their roles. And with that in mind, Evan Herbstreit, he's going to probably be asked to score a little bit more this year than he was last year. And I remember Coach Kimbrough saying a couple weeks ago when Evan had advanced to the state in the three-point contest, I tried to get him to shoot all year, but I couldn't do it. And
yeah.
I think that's one of those things, Dan, where next year Evan's role is going to be more of a scoring role than he's had up to this point.
Yeah, it definitely will be. I mean, he'll have, you know, a lot of responsibility on his plate, you know, besides playing point guard and being able to score as well. But, you know, I know you've seen him in baseball too. He's a gamer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was helping out with the eighth grade when he was in eighth grade at that time. And, you know, he was our main scorer. So I'm sure this past year is kind of, you know, stepping in his first year starting. And you have, you know, a guy like Carter and Alex, maybe look to defer to them a little bit more than maybe even Coach Kimbrough was looking for him to. But, you know, he's a leader, and, yeah, he's a kid. Every time I've seen him play in games as well as in practice, he gives 110%, and that just rubs off on everybody else. So, you know, having a guy, especially who plays point guard position, coming back, that's definitely going to be a benefit to the team.
And, of course, Jake Johnson had some big moments this year as well. And I think he's only listed at 6 foot, but he's an inside guy. I love watching those undersized, hard-nosed kids play on the inside.
Yeah, he found a way to get it done. He really improved from when I saw him play in November, you know, going up to February. He played with a lot of energy, you know, physical, even though he's, like you say, 6 foot. He didn't back it down from anybody.
No.
And he really progressed. He find a way to get a shot off against taller opponents too. So, you know, there's two kids, you know, as well as you know, Seth. He kind of played a role too, and Kendall. But you know, those guys be able to step in and you know, some of the other underclassmen as well. You know, we're always going to be able to hang our hat on defense though. So. That and obviously rebounding and taking care of the ball. Things will take care of themselves if we do that.
I assume the 1-2-2 is not going anywhere?
No, it's not. I, you know, when I was at Pawnee and West Frankfort, honestly, we didn't play 1-2-2. We played more man than anything. At Pawnee, we played a little 1-2-2, but not a lot. But, you know, getting back here and coaching at the junior high as well as, you know, watching coach in practice, you know, it's a staple, obviously, of the program. And we've got, you know, going down to the lower levels, the junior high, as well as to the Mustang teams. You know, we've got guys of the past 50 years who that's all they played, that's all they know. So we're going to stick with it. You know, I guess you'd say kind of one of the parts of the identity of the program. You know, I know when I went down to West Frankfort, talked to a number of coaches, and, you know, they kind of asked, you know, how's Coach so successful with it year in, year out? You know, how does he teach it? And, you know, it's just something's kind of evolved where, you know, that, you know, as an opponent, that's what you're going to get. And, you know, he knew all the ins and outs of it, and I've started to become more comfortable coaching with it too over the last few years. So I think it's something we're obviously going to stick with because it's as effective as it's been.
Dan, the final question for you this morning, we really appreciate your time. Talk about the balance that you will try to go back and forth between doing what you do versus kind of keeping what Coach Kimbrough had established over the years in place. You're your own man, you're your own coach, but yet there's a pretty good blueprint there.
Without a doubt. I mean, you know, there's only going to be one Coach Kimbrough, and I think if, you know, you try to be somebody else, you know, the kids will see it. I don't think you're going to be as effective, but the principles, as well as the, you know, the work ethic that he instilled in me as a player, but, you know, I tried to carry on as a coach too. You know, that's what I'm going to try to keep going, obviously, is within the program. And, you know, it's impossible to try to be him.
Right.
So, you know, I've talked to him, and, you know, he said he'd always be there to help me out whenever I need help. And, but you know, you also kind of look to make your own stamp on the program too. And we might do a few things different offensively. Like I said, defense will be a little bit different, but, a lot of the things that I use as a coach when I first started and the way I can, put together practice and things of that nature, I took from what I experienced, you know, with Coach Kimbrough. So, you know, there's going to be some same, but some will be different too, but hopefully we'll get the same outcome.
Fantastic. Dan DeWerf, congratulations on the new job, sir. And hey, we look forward to basketball season coming up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Dan DeWerf, the new boys basketball coach at Nokomis High School, of course, played for Coach Kimbrough back in the day, graduated in 1998. He's been involved at the junior high level for the last 4 years as well. So the Nokomis basketball program in good hands with Dan DeWerf. We're going to get to a quick break here on Sports Saturday. Still more to do. We're going to catch up with new Litchfield football coach Dan Carlson, also new Litchfield baseball coach Connor White, all still to come this morning on Sports Saturday.
9:32 on this Saturday morning, and once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
All right, Randy, thank you so much here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and happy to be joined on the phone right now by new Litchfield football coach Dan Carlson. Good morning, Coach.
Morning. How are you guys doing? Glad to be back with you guys.
Thanks for being on with us here. We're doing well. And, Dan, obviously, your first year at Litchfield, you're stepping into a little different situation than you did in your first year at North Mac.
Very different. You know, I think that there's a little bit of a different expectation level there, and you know, things are just a little bit different, you know, coming from North Mac to Litchfield. So,
and talk a little bit about the process. Obviously, Mark Elvers, the new AD at Litchfield, has a fantastic football background, and that's going to be a real good working relationship, I would imagine, with you and Coach Elvers.
You know, I was able to meet with Coach Elvers quite a bit, have been able to since I've sat down, and he's going to be an extreme resource. You know, I think that the biggest thing about the Litchfield School District is that, you know, from top to bottom, they support the sports program. You know, with the new superintendent, Dr. Firstenau, Mr. Elvers, Mr. Hosser, you know, from top to bottom, it is, they want to bring the sports programs back, and they want to make sure that they're being put on the right path. And so, you know, I've been getting great support from everybody from top down.
And on that line about the support, no matter what the wins and losses may be for Litchfield, Lloyd Hill Field is packed every Friday night the Panthers are in town.
There's no doubt that the you know, the crowd supports the program. The crowd is the community supports it. And, you know, it's not, you know, Mr. Elvers and Dr. Personow told me it's not if but when. You know, we've got the support of the administration. We've got the support of the town. And, you know, we're just going to get this thing on the right track and do what we need to do.
And, Dan, you know how it goes at small public schools. Sometimes, well, a lot of times the talent just kind of goes in cycles, and there can be lulls where the talent isn't where it needs to be, especially when you're competing in a league like the South Central Conference. But I do know that the group that's going to be juniors, a lot of talent there, and the incoming freshman group, a lot of talent there. So you do have some good pieces to work with here.
There's no doubt. You know, I've been able to meet with the juniors and sit down and watch some old film when they were sophomores last year. And, you know, there's definitely going to be great pieces, and we're working diligently right now to try to put together a playbook that's going to maximize that. You know, one of the things is that I don't want to be a coach that comes in and says we're going to run this, because, you know, we may not have the kids to run that. But with that being said, you know, there is that thing of you have a team that's up and down, like you said, in the public school. So right now, one of the biggest things that we're working on is vertically aligning with our JFL. You know, if you look around and you look at the teams that are great year in and year out, you know, they're public schools, but at the end of the day, you got to look at the foundation that's being laid at the JFL level. So I've been working very closely with Ron Anglin, who's the director of the Litchfield JFL, and we're working to get this thing so that they know what they're doing as freshmen when they walk in. And, you know, I take that from my experience when I was at Triad High School. What do we know? We knew how to run triple option football, because that's the only thing we've done since we played football, you know. And so I think that you can develop that talent if you vertically align the JFL into the high school football program.
And we're talking about that group that's going to be juniors for you coming up in the fall. They were put in a very tough situation their freshman year when a lot of them were asked to play varsity football. And, Coach, as we know, freshman and varsity football, that's usually a very tough transition just because of the physical nature of the sport. So as you look at that junior group, are they, I guess, recovered is not the right word, but have they recovered from that freshman year experience?
You know, when I was meeting with them, they're all excited. They're all looking forward to the opportunity. You know, I would say that they're recovered. You know, football is a unique situation, in which case, there is no place to get football besides high school. You know, I talk to my wife, who's a volleyball coach, and she always asks me about it. And I say, well, you know, there's no AAU. There's no club where you can, you know, like you say, recover that psyche of, well, I got the crap beaten out of me. But, you know, then you turn back around and you go to club season. You're like, oh, I am a good volleyball player, basketball player, track star, or whatever, you know. So I've been more than impressed with the excitement level of the junior class, you know, everything that they've been asked to go through. And, you know, I couldn't ask for anything more from those guys. They're excited. They're ready to go. You know, and when it comes to June 1st, when we can get pads on and get ready and get back after it.
And it's so hard to have confidence when you're not seeing the results and wins and losses. From a coaching perspective, you can say all the right things. You can do all the right things. But at the end of the day, at some point, the kids just need to see a positive result. And, Dan, it really does seem, at least from the outside looking into the program, that it's close. It's going to happen. And when it does happen, it really could spawn into something nice.
There's no doubt about it. You know, Julio Jones wrote a great essay in which Casey talked about Alabama football. And Julio Jones came out and said Nick Saban didn't change Alabama football. It was his class of seniors that stepped up and said, hey, we're Alabama. We can't keep losing like this. And I think that that's something that these juniors need to latch on to, is that they've get, in essence, 2 years of being seniors. And they can really change the tone and the direction of this football program. You know, we as coaches, we can really, you know, say all the right things, like you said. We can give them the best playbook in the world, but at the end of the day, I've never caught a touchdown or I've never made a tackle, you know. And I think that these juniors are really wanting to step up and change the direction of this football program.
Do you have an idea of what your numbers will be? Do you have a target of what you would like to see your numbers be in the program?
You know, I think that every football coach would love to see 100 hats out there, but mm-hmm. I think realistically, in the program this year, I think we're looking to have 60 kids. Now, with that being said, that's 60 juniors, sophomores, and freshmen. You know, I'm not sure where we're at on our senior class, but, you know, high school kids are fickle. You know, they, you know, they'll sign up and don't come out, or they won't sign up and will come out. So, you know, we just got to wait till June 1st and see who comes out, and then even in June 1st, we got to wait and see who comes out in August 7th or 8th, whenever we can actually start.
And of course, Dan, right now everything is such a topsy-turvy situation right now. Normally, you'd be able to have maybe some spring weightlifting, those types of things going on in some capacity, but of course, nothing is happening. So talk about the unique challenges for you. First year in a program here as the head coach at Litchfield, but you don't necessarily have the normal type of contact with your players or program that you usually would.
Well, you know, that is that's a great point. But, you know, this thing's going to blow over. You know, I think Governor Pritzker shutting down the schools and making sure that we're all staying home and staying healthy is going to go a long way to bringing us back. But with that being said, you know, you also have to remember where I came from in North Mac, in which case I got hired 6 days before the football season started in June. So I don't know what I'm doing with all my time here. So, you know, I joke about that. I can actually sit down, meet with people, and figure out directions instead of saying, okay, we got 6 days to figure this out. Let's go.
Boy, and when that is the situation, Dad, you never catch up. You probably felt like you were chasing your tail that entire season.
Oh, yeah, you know, but, you know, it was a great – North Mac was a great learning experience, and I'm hoping to take the things that I've learned from there, and especially with the help and guidance of Coach Elvers and Dr. Personnel, you know, I really feel like we can do something special here at Litchfield. But, you know, on top of that, it is a unique situation going back to the virus situation right here. You know, we have a unique opportunity at Litchfield, in which case they do strength and conditioning in school with Coach White, who I was talking with some people who speak nothing but great things about him. So I don't have any issues or fears that our kids are going to be in shape, ready to go when it comes to beating June 1st. So.
Excellent. And I guess I should have asked you this earlier, but it just came to me. What's your staff look like?
Right now, it's still a fluid process. You know, we're waiting for teaching positions to open up. You know, I'm a big believer in getting as many coaches in the building as I can. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it's important to have faces that the kids see on a daily basis, not just during football season. So. Right now, I'll be in the building, but we're waiting to see how many more teaching positions open up. But I will be bringing back three coaches, Billy Wyatt, Nathan Wise, and Tim Rodas will all be on my staff currently. And I'm looking for that fourth position, hopefully somebody I can bring into the school district.
All right. Excellent. Dan Carlson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Congratulations on the new job. We look forward to talking to you throughout the 2020 football season.
Thank you very much. Have a great one, guys.
All right, that's Dan Carlson, the new head coach with the Litchfield Purple Panthers. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back. We'll talk with Litchfield baseball coach Connor White when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
WSMI's Sports Saturday continues. Once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
All right, Randy, thank you so much, and happy to be joined on the phone right now by Connor White, the new baseball coach at Litchfield High School. Good morning, Connor.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing all right, and obviously this is a very strange time for anybody involved with a spring sport. I guess just kind of take us through what your thought process has been here over this last week.
You kind of hit the nail on the head right there. It is a very strange time, but right now, I mean, the team is trying to stay as positive as we can. I've been in contact with the guys, you know, just saying, hey, our season's postponed. We're not canceled.
Right.
It's up to you. I mean, we can't have any practices or anything right now. So it's up to them to just keep their arms healthy, you know, keep their entire bodies healthy, you know, and just in mid-season form.
Kyle, this is your first year as the head coach at Litchfield. So what kind, were you ever actually able to have any official meeting, contact with the team?
Yeah. We had 2 full weeks of practice. We got in a lot of work. Team was looking pretty good. You know, the team chemistry was very good. I was excited for the season to start up. The players seemed like they were really excited. And unfortunately, this happened. But, yeah, we had 2 good full weeks of practice. We weren't able to get outside for any of those practices, but we were inside down there at LSI.
And that what a great facility to have in your backyard there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we couldn't be outside, you know, we're always welcome to go there. And you can pretty much, I mean, besides, you know, hitting fly balls or anything in there, we got in a lot of stuff that we weren't able to do outside. So, yeah, couldn't be happier with what we got there.
And we certainly hope that at some point here we'll be able to get a baseball season underway. And, Connor, from your perspective as a coach, my goodness, you have to feel for your seniors.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You have to just feel bad for your seniors in a situation like this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said just a couple seconds ago, everybody's looking forward to the season. And to have this kind of happen right before our first game was supposed to actually go on, I mean, yeah, I do feel for them. I mean, like I said, we have the positive energy. So it just stinks that it unfortunately came to this. But we're hopeful that a season's actually still going to be going on, and we're going to get our first game here in a few weeks.
And as far as the season goes, I don't know what will be the process of the games that have been lost, if they'll try to make things up, but there could wind up being a very compressed schedule here. So with that in mind, as is always the case, pitching depth will be a key.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one thing that, like I just said, I told the guys, you know, keep your arms healthy and everything. It's on them to play catch on their own and everything, keep their arms in shape. So when we come back, that we're ready to go. You know, we don't have those 2 weeks ahead before our first game to kind of get ourselves in shape. We need to be in shape right when we come back to school.
Do you kind of have an idea of how many arms you might have at the varsity level?
Yeah, I got a few numbers, yeah, and then I was kind of hoping to see a few guys that didn't necessarily sign up to be a pitcher. I wanted to see them kind of get on the mound a little bit just to see what they had. That way, if we ever do run into any obstacles, that I know I can go to this guy or that guy, just so we have a little more depth there.
And it's all, you mentioned how you guys practice inside for a couple weeks. Always hard to get probably a real good read on a baseball team when you're indoors. But do you feel like offensively you've got that nice mixture?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like you said, you don't necessarily get a good read until you actually get outside. But I was very pleased with the effort that the team put in inside. I mean, that was one of our talks, you know, at the end of every practice saying, hey, you know, hopefully we can get out before our first game. But if not, you know, we got to treat this as the best thing, and we're going to make the most of it inside and do what we have to do.
In the South Central Conference, just year in, year out, always such a solid baseball league. And this year will be no different.
Right. I mean, we were looking forward to it. I mean, I was kind of looking forward to playing certain teams in our schedule. So hopefully when the time comes, we'll get back to those games.
And I guess, you know, I mentioned it earlier in the hour, but the season was supposed to start this week. But the way the weather went, I don't know that anything would have actually got done anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, unfortunately this happened. But, yeah, with all the rain that we got, who knows if we would have actually had our first game yesterday.
Talking with Connor White, the new baseball coach at Litchfield. And I guess, Connor, maybe give us a little background on yourself here. Talk about kind of your philosophy in baseball and what you hope and where you hope to see this program move over the next few years.
I've had a very good baseball upbringing in my life. My family's very baseball-oriented. My brother played baseball. My dad played baseball. So we're just a huge baseball family. I've been a part of some really good teams and played for a lot of good coaches that I've kind of, you know, improved my mindset on the game. So my philosophy about stuff would just kind of be what I learned as a player and translate that into a coach. You know, we're going to hustle everything out. We're not going to throw equipment or anything. If we lose, we're going to take something from that loss and kind of build on it. If we win, you know, that's all the better. But in my mind, really winning obviously is important, but it may not be the most important thing. You know, like I just said, if we're going to lose, we're going to take something away from that loss and build on it and hopefully just kind of improve also as baseball players, but also as human beings along the way as well.
And baseball is such a different sport than everything else because it's a game of failure. I mean, if you succeed 3 out of 10 times, you're excellent. And so that mentality, it's a different type of mentality. And by the time kids are in high school, they understand that. But, boy, when you're a young kid playing this game, that is a hard thing to wrap your mind around, that I'm going to fail a lot more than I succeed in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of noticed it a little bit when we were inside, you know, the first few days of practices. You know, some guys may not be hitting as well as they thought they would have liked or as they would have liked to, or fielding ground balls as cleanly as they liked to. So, once again, at the end of every practice, I'd bring up, hey, it's early in the season. You know, some guys that just got done playing basketball, you know, it's been a while since you fielded a ground ball or hit live BP or anything like that. So, just not hang your head or anything like that. Don't get too down on yourself. So,
talking with Connor White, the new head baseball coach at Litchfield. And I guess, Connor, finally, have you received any word from either the Litchfield School District or from the IHSA on any possibility of a date to return?
As of right now, our school is canceled or closed until April 8th. So until we're back in school, we can't really do anything. So I guess if I had a date to throw out there, it'd be April 8th. So we're hoping that is the final return date and we can get going with our season.
We sure hope we get some ball in here in the next few weeks. Connor White, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to your tenure as Litchfield baseball coach, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Connor White with Litchfield, and an odd circumstance to say the least. Your first year on the job. And, you know, we talked to three coaches today, all who will be in their first years at their new programs. Of course, Dan DeWerf at his alma mater in Nokomis. He will have time to get things lined out. Dan Carlson, his first year as the Litchfield football coach, he will have time, of course, to get things lined out. And then Connor White, the spring coaches are certainly in the most precarious of the situations here because the clock is ticking. And you heard Connor say, with schools now being out until April 8th, that is now the target date. That's the earliest that we could possibly start. And, you know, you get in to May, and that's basically postseason time, and we're winding down. So it's going to be a real crunched situation here over the next few weeks to find out if we actually get to play spring baseball, softball, and track and field.
Another person who's going to be under pressure are the athletic directors organize and schedule some of these ball games, whether or not they're makeup games.
No, that's exactly right. And I know I had seen a couple schools had said that they wouldn't make up the games that were lost because most of the games earlier are non-conference games, and it's scheduled that way for a reason. So if the weather does come in and wipe them out, you don't have to worry about making them up. So that will probably be the way that most schools go, is just forget about what was canceled, unfortunately, and we'll move forward with what we have. But you're exactly right, Randy. It's going to be a handful for these ADs to try to get this all figured out. Separate note here, the turf project at Carlinville still going on. The turf is down, and they will be ready to go, it would appear, by the fall for the upcoming season.
Well, that's on the football field.
That's on the football field, so that'll take care of the soccer, football, and then, of course, Don Borgini, who was really a big part of getting this project going. He was very adamant. This is a community project, so you're talking about the PE classes at Carlinville being able to use this facility. There's talk of people in the community being able to come out and use the facility as well, I do believe. So very exciting time. Look forward to seeing the turf down, and I think they're actually on schedule for the most part. We know that North Mac wound up very much off of schedule last year. They eventually got their nice new turf facility down by week 9 of the season. So they're looking forward to a full season of turf at North Mac, and it looks like a full season of turf at Carletonville High School as well. And that's going to be, I do suspect, Randy, kind of a more common theme here as the years move along. When you talk about, like, the overall cost of a turf field, it's a big number. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big number. But once it's down, the maintenance figure is very low. When you have a grass field, the dollar amount that goes into that each year to keep it running, that gets to be a big number. You got to cut the grass. You got to paint the lines. This is all stuff that has to be done on a weekly basis. And those expenses just add up. So, I mean, when you, if you crunch the numbers long term, it's not hard to see in your mind, okay, this is viable. At first, it sounds ludicrous. It's such a big number. But when you dive into it a little bit more, it's like, okay, this is workable.
Yeah, because once you put it down, there it is. It's done.
And it's done.
I mean, you don't necessarily just simply walk away from it and use it, but it's just about that simple.
Exactly right. And then I'm pretty sure the field at Carletonville is going to be pretty simplistic in terms of the field designs. But the most important thing when you're putting down paint on the turf is make sure you spell it right.
Who are the chefs?
Who are the chefs? One of the great commercials in the history of advertisements. That old boy out there slaving away all day, painting Chiefs in the end zone.
Looks
gets
great.
Done. He's so happy.
Yeah, it looks great. But?
Who are the chefs?
That was funny. I had forgotten about that, but that was a hoot.
That was a classic. Randy, we're going to, I think, probably wrap up the sports show right now, maybe give you a chance to run down some of the cancellations if you're set to do that, because it's a long list of cancellations that we have into our WSMI studios. We want to thank Dan DeWerf, Dan Carlson, Connor White for all joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carletonville, and Greenville. And